turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 13. We want to read verses 23 through 30. Our subject this morning is Christ's resurrection personalized. Christ's resurrection personalized. As we read these verses, we'll see that they are preeminently a message about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 13, beginning verse 23. Now, the verse here starts with a summary about David. So that's what he's talking about. I want to start here for the sake of time without reading previous verses. But he's talking about David in this first verse, in verse 23. Of this man's seed, David's seed, hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word or the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. Every year about this time, preachers everywhere focus their congregations on the gospel account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily a time to do it at only one time of the year, because we know that every Sunday that we gather, we're commemorating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because so much has been done to what is commonly called Easter, so much of the world has crept into it, we had thought, as the Lord led us on a message this morning, to preach on the subject of the resurrection of Christ and attempt, by the help of God, to personalize that message for the children of God that are here, and perhaps make it a personal message for any of you that are here without Jesus this morning. Because we as God's people need to realize the importance of the resurrection of Christ as it relates to us personally. Now, we as preachers sometimes get so caught up in the actual historical experience that we read about in our Bibles of the day of the Lord's resurrection, that we may fail to personalize the event for hearers that we're preaching to. So as I said, today I want to make Christ's resurrection take on a personal meaning for each and every one of you. And if we receive the message this morning as a personal message to ourselves, I believe that we can grow in grace and knowledge of the truth as God's people, and we can really, really come to appreciate our Lord's resurrection. We almost sometimes feel detached from it, because as preachers, we preach on it and focus on the events surrounding Christ's resurrection. But let's focus this morning on what those events meant to each one of us as God's people that are saved by grace. And as we do that, I think that we'll grow to appreciate not just the historical sketch of the Lord's resurrection, but the very in-depth meaning concerning our faith. Now let me just make a note of something for those of you that grew up thinking of today as Easter Sunday. The word Easter was translated from a Greek word that appears 29 times in the New Testament. And 28 of those 29 times, that it's translated, guess what it's translated as? Passover. It's unfortunate that it was translated as Easter in this one passage in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. That's an unfortunate translation, but how it crept in was that the Tyndale version and the Coverdale versions of the Bible that were written in about the 16th century were translated out in such a way that this word appeared as Easter, this Greek word, in this place, and it got carried over in the King James translation. But everywhere else, it's translated Passover. And this Greek word speaks directly to the Jewish Passover that was observed by the Jews and had been a commemorative time for more than 1,000 years before the pagan word Easter was adopted into the language. And so, I would encourage you to think of this Sunday every year, not as Easter Sunday, but as a Passover Sunday. The Sunday following the time of the Passover. And so with that in mind, let's think of the personal things that are related to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that I want you to focus on is the fact that our verses tell you that God, regardless of the fact that He was laid in a tomb like any other dead person, God raised Him from the dead. God raised Him from the dead. The power of God was seen that day in the Lord Jesus Christ coming out of that grave. It was by the power of a sovereign, omnipotent God that our Savior was able to arise out of the grave, because, brethren, remember that He went down to the grave laden with the sins of His people. He died as a criminal. And God laid upon Him of the iniquity of us all and punished Him in behalf of us for our sins. That was the death that He went through. So what does the resurrection of Christ mean for each one of us? What does it mean that can be something personal? First of all, it means justification from sin for everybody who believes. That is, we are given credit for being totally right before God as a direct action of the resurrection of Christ. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 when he says, Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses. I've just said that. But listen what the next phrase of that verse says. And was raised again for our justification. Have you ever thought about the resurrection of Christ being something that transpired for your justification? I don't think we usually think about it that way. But that's exactly what our Savior was raised for. For our justification. To make us just as if we had not sinned. You might say, well, I really don't make the connection between the resurrection of Christ and our being justified. Listen, if Christ had not resurrected, He would have laid there in that grave and we would have not been credited with being pure and righteous, because He would not have overcome death and the grave. He would have gone down to the grave as representative man with sin upon Him, and not being able to overcome it, would have stayed there, and we would have had no source of salvation, no source of justification. But when He rose from that grave, it means that He was justified in the act that He did in behalf of us. And in bringing us with Him, we also were justified in His resurrection. So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was for our justification. We couldn't possess that this morning, except Christ had risen from the grave. It means something else also, brothers and sisters. It means escape from a state. Escape for us. For each one of you that are saved by the grace of God. It means escape from a state where your body would lay in the grave and rot until the day that it was called forth, resurrected, and brought before the white throne judgment and judged of God and cast into the lake of fire. It means escape from eternal damnation. That's what the resurrection of Christ means for us this morning. Escape from eternal damnation. Without the resurrection of Christ, brothers and sisters, we as God's people could not claim eternal life. Humanity could not lay hold upon eternal life. And every human being that went down to the grave would rot there until God called it forth to an immortal state to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. We escape that. And that's what it means concerning the resurrection of Christ. His rising from the grave guaranteed a kind of immortality for us, that is, an eternal blessedness with Him, an eternal joy, an eternal comfort, an eternal peace, an eternal rest with Him, and an eternal enjoyment with Him in heaven at the first and upon the new earth at the last, forever and ever with the Lord. That's the other thing that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means to God's people. 2 Corinthians 4:14, the Bible says, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. It is by Jesus that we are raised up. If He hadn't come out of that grave, there'd be no resurrection of justification for us. There'd be no resurrection of the righteous. Everybody who was resurrected without that resurrection of Christ, every human creature would be resurrected well enough, but they'd be resurrected unto damnation. And so we are resurrected unto righteousness by the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means also something else relative to that resurrection. It means that the burial of our physical body is turned into a resurrection of a spiritual body. Now listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 44, now listen at the apostle as he reads, as he writes this. The body, says the apostle, is sown a natural body. But he says, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That is, the propensity, the ability to rot. It is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. You're going to have a new body one day. And it's not going to be like this body. It's not going to be able to fall away into the grave and rot there and turn back to dust. It's going to be immortal. A body that lasts forever. And a body that is perfect in all of its ways. And that is possible because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He resurrected out of that grave, He proved that all who are God's are immortal in their new state. Because He was the first of many who will resurrect one day to an immortal state, which are you that are called by the gospel of Christ. You have an immortality ahead of you. And that all because of Christ overcoming the corruptible nature of dying. Every one of us that live, if Jesus tarries, will sooner or later be buried in the grave. But not to worry. Not to worry, brothers and sisters, because the resurrection of the immortal Christ assures, guarantees that we ourselves will resurrect one day with an immortal body, one that has also overcome the grave. When the Lord Jesus comes in the clouds of glory with the shout of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ, the Bible says, will rise first. And when they come out of that grave, Christ will have reconstituted the body that we are to live forever in. He will have reconstituted from the atoms that were buried in that ground, and we'll be in an immortal state forever, forever with the Lord. The guarantee assured by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as He raised from the dead that glorious morning that we commemorate every Sunday and look specially to today. Now this resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means something else personally to each one of us. And that is, it means that God sees our resurrection as already accomplished. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says something about that. Here's what it says, verses 5 and 6 of Ephesians chapter 2. Even when we were dead in sin, now listen to me, brothers and sisters. He's talking about every one of us. And he says, even when we all were dead in sins, now listen to this, Jesus Christ has quickened us, God has quickened us in that time, in that state, God has quickened us together with Christ by grace, ye are saved. Even when we were dead in sins, God quickened us in Christ, together with Christ. And listen at this present tense statement from the Almighty God. Listen. And hath raised us up together. All of you know your tenses and grammar? What does hath raised mean? It means it's already happened, doesn't it? You think about the power of the resurrected Christ, that when He came out of that grave, He was able, before we were ever born, to raise us up together with Himself out of the grave. You're talking about assurance. You're talking about security of salvation, of an eternal resurrection. There it is, in the power that Christ exhibited that wonderful, glorious morning, when He raised out of that grave and brought us with Him, quickened us together with Him that wonderful morning. Raised us up together and listen, and made us, present tense, made us sit, present tense, together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So although we haven't experienced the total fulfillment of the glorious translation that we're going to enjoy, it is secure enough that God in His Word can talk about it already being a fact. Think about that, brothers and sisters. That's the power of the resurrection of Christ. That in coming out of that grave, He can ensure, guarantee, that we already have eternal life. And while we are not yet with our new and glorified bodies there with Him, God sees it that way already. That's what His resurrection means. It means something else also. It means the dishonor of death is turned into glory. The dishonor of death turned into glory. Think about that. We have an awful thing to face as human beings, brothers and sisters. You ever sat down and thought about how dishonorable dying is? Think about it. Think what an awful thing it is that the premier creation of God, man, has to fall away into death and be buried in the ground and rot back to dust. Man who can think and reason, man who was created by the Lord to glorify Him, man who was created by the Lord to walk with Him, now faces this awful, degrading thing that we call dying. That's so dishonorable. But the resurrection of Christ means that this dishonor that we all look forward to, are having to look forward to, this dishonor is turned into glory. 1 Corinthians 15 and 43. The apostle says again that this body that we possess now is sown in dishonor. I've already expounded that. But what does he say next? It is raised in glory. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. How is it raised in glory? It's raised by the power of Jesus' resurrection. And so your resurrection unto glory is connected directly to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so His resurrection means that the sowing of your body into the grave in dishonor is turned into a thing of glory at last. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just great? I love it. There's another thing that Jesus' resurrection means to the child of God. It means the weakness that is plainly obvious in death is turned into power. There's nothing that declares the weakness and the fallibility, the failing and the degeneracy of humankind. There's nothing that claims those things and declares those things more than this dying thing. I mean, in the strength of our youth and the strength and vigor of our good health, there's not much of an evidence of this weakness that abides in every child of Adam. But when we finally and at last have to yield ourselves to the cold grasp of death, that is a testimony of the weakness that resides in every single one of us. But this weakness, because of the resurrection of Christ, will be turned into power. 1 Corinthians 15, 43 again. I reference this again and it says, this body is sown in weakness every time that you have stood over the coffin of a loved one or a friend and bidden them goodbye, knowing that they would never return again as they had been, that you had lost them forever in this life to the grave. Every time you have experienced that, brothers and sisters, you have felt a silent internal witness that there's a weakness here. There's something failing all the time about the human frame. And that something shows up every time at a graveside service. Shows up every time at a funeral time. But that weakness will be turned into power. It is sown in weakness, saith Paul, but it is raised in power. I want to tell you something. We go to the grave with a body that cannot help but fail because sin has beset it. But we come out of that grave by the power of the resurrection of Christ with a body that cannot fail, that will not fail, that will not be weak, that will not have a flaw, that will not have a disease, and it will be forever our new body because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing that I want us to look at that the resurrection of Christ means is that it means, and I don't want to scare anybody, but this is a very solemn and serious fact, and we need to realize that the resurrection of Christ means this also. It means a fair and full judgment of all men. It means a fair and full judgment of all men. In the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, the Bible declares this very plainly. It says here that God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. Now listen to this. Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men. Assurance about what, you may ask? He has given assurance to all men that a reckoning day is coming. How did He give that assurance to all men that a reckoning day is coming? Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, and any of you that have not Christ this morning, there's a proof in the world that a judgment day is coming, that God will judge every man. And that proof lies in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because God has given an assurance that it's going to happen in that resurrection. He assured mankind in general that it was going to happen. The resurrection of Christ guarantees that there will be a judgment day for everyone. Listen, in the book of Revelation chapter 20, and if you've never read this, I wish every one of you would go back and read the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. In the 20th chapter of Revelation, there's an awesome, serious, and solemn account given of the resurrection of the condemned and the great white throne judgment. And on that day, every human creature that ever lived on the face of the earth that is not in Christ will kneel and bow before God at that great white throne and give an account of himself unto God and be judged of God for the unbelievers that they are. That's an awful, terrible, but real occasion that is going to happen someday. And what is our proof? What is our proof for those of us who know the power of God? The proof is that we know and believe that Jesus has risen. And that resurrection is like the stamp of God upon the fact that one day He is going to judge every human being. We'll receive our judgment at the Bema Seat of Christ as His people. But following that, there's going to be that awful great white throne judgment in which God will call forth from out of the grave. And by the way, if you enter into death lost without Christ, do you know what's going to resurrect you in that immortal body that is going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever? The power for that resurrection lies in the resurrection of Christ. It's His resurrection that ensures that you will not escape judgment by slipping away into what some so-called scientists and so-called religionists call annihilation. There's this heresy abroad today that says, oh, when we die, we're like dogs. We just die and that's it. No, 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 no. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ assures that every human creature that ever lived is going to resurrect again. And those that resurrect to righteousness shall shine as the stars of heaven. But those that are resurrected in unrighteousness will be judged by Him who rose from the dead according to their works. And so the resurrection of Christ means a fair and full judgment of all men by that same Christ who rose from the dead. And you know, I have to tell you that I am so glad that I can look in the Word of God and say, God's going to judge fairly one day every act of men. One day God is going to level the playing field. Today, fairness of judgment is almost gone from the earth. And there are people out there today, brothers and sisters, that are getting away literally with murder. And not because they're hiding, but because they're above the law, they think. And today, they almost are above the law, doing anything their heart's content leads them to do. But one day, the judge of all the earth is going to call them before Him. And listen, every unfairness, every abuse, every transgression that these deceivers have ever acted out will be called into judgment and brought to the open, and God will deal with them according to their works. Don't ever think that wicked and crooked and vile men are going to live out their life and get away with the things that they get away with, because they're not. There's a day coming that He who resurrects us as His people to eternal righteousness is going to resurrect all the dead that are not in Christ to an eternal, fair, equitable, all-knowing judgment. And He knows how to mete out judgment. Praise God. The resurrection of Christ can be a personal thing for each one of us, and ought to be. Let's look at the things that Christ's resurrection means to us as His people and means to the world. And let's praise God the more for the resurrection of Christ, by which He did so much for His people and assured so much for mankind.